Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast. And on today's show, I've got Fadi Habib. He is a professor. He is a recovering engineer. He is an income guru who talks a little bit about or trains people on how to invest in options and stocks so that they can generate income, along with a little bit of real estate that he dabbles in. So hold on. You'll want to listen to this. This is actually a very interesting way to make money, especially when the markets are all over the fence. It's a nice, in a lot of cases, conservative way to make money. So hold on. We'll be right back in just a second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Fadi, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
You are joining us from our wonderful neighbor to the north in Canada, correct?
Yes, correct. I'm in 1 hour away from Toronto.
Are you, is it reasonable weather right now, or is it still a little chill in the air up there?
It's a little bit chilly the last few days, but we're hoping, time is on our side, so summer is coming, so we're hoping for
eventually it'll warm up for like a week and a half, and then it gets cold again.
Every week and a half, we're saying is next week.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get kicked off here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story, how you got to where you are today?
Okay, cool. So all of my life, Jeff, I was a good student, good boy. I got good grades. I graduated from engineering with magna cum laude, high honors. And I got really good jobs throughout my career life. I worked in oil field, a company called Schlumberger, Celestica, which is manufacturing, which are the factories of IBM. I went to BlackBerry, you know, the phone company that doesn't do phones anymore. And then I went to insurance. And all of this time, I had good paying jobs, high paying jobs. But I was always, the money was not enough to go to the trips that I want, to do everything I want. So once I became aware to that, I started searching. So I read this book a long time ago called Cashflow Quadrant, which is a really good book. If you didn't read it, any of the listeners,
exceptional book.
Please do.
It's one of our top 10 on the show. So yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful. And I learned that, you know what? I cannot rely on the 9-to-5 to amass any kind of wealth. So I used to go to my work 9-to-5, being a really good worker, worked really never. You know, the day they gave me a BlackBerry, when I joined BlackBerry, I was so happy that they gave me BlackBerry. I didn't know that this means that now I have to reply to emails 24 hours a day. Anyway.
You're going to be tethered to the company now.
Exactly. Yeah. So from 5 to midnight, I used to, on my own time, start teaching myself how to invest, same as what the cash flow quadrant said. Because here's the thing. If your father and mother and the education system did not teach us how to invest, It is our responsibility to take that. It's not a burden, but I'm going to call it take that burden on and teach ourselves, educate ourselves, and because there's no other way. So I started by real estate investing. And as I told you before the show, I thought that anybody who invests in stocks and options is really not a responsible person, because everybody around me, Jeff, was losing money in stocks. Yep. And I didn't really know much. I started 12 years ago going to this course about options, and I really went to prove to myself that my way, the real estate way, is the right way, and there's no other way. And I was pleasantly surprised. And from that point, I learned a lot about stocks and options. I learned that there's a way for it not to be a casino. And the fact that everybody else is using it as a casino and losing money, this does not mean that this is the right way, because nobody really is teaching the right way. So, we're not buying lottery tickets in stocks. We're buying businesses. And if you know how to buy a business, I'm sure we're going to talk about that. But just to conclude my story, right now I do what I want. I went out of the 9-to-5. I work part-time, very few courses in teaching, project management, operations, supply chain. But my passion, I founded this Legacy Wealth Builder Academy, which basically with the objective of teaching professionals, people are busy, they don't have time to dedicate all day to looking at a screen, how to invest with the objective of income generation and wealth building. That's the story in brief.
Love it. Love it. So let's kind of wind back there to that first options course. You went into it. Now I applaud you because, like we're saying, a lot of real estate people are just fearful of the stock market, that everybody's going to lose money and everything else. And you at least had the wherewithal to say, you know what, I'm going to go and keep an open mind and see what it is. So when you went to that class, what was it about options and stocks in general that kind of attracted you?
I wasn't attracted. I was actually not feeling very happy going, and I didn't really have an open mind. My objective was to prove to myself that this is a waste of time. So I'm just being honest here. So I guess I was open-minded, because when I evaluated things, again, I evaluate things as if it's a business. So I waited to what they presented. I asked a lot of questions, and I learned that there is a way. And the thing is, same as real estate. If you never buy a house or a rental property, but just because your friend told you, Fatty, go buy this house, it's really nice. People do that. So any prudent real estate investor, if they want to buy a rental property, they ask questions. What is the rent? What are the expenses? Mm-hmm. Is it cash flowing? What is the cap rate? What is the location? All of this stuff, right? Even with real smart real estate investors, when they go to the stock market, none of that happens. People spend more time researching buying a new refrigerator or air conditioning than buying the stock, right? So no wonder everybody's losing money, because if you're treating the stock market as if it's a casino, what are you expecting, right? Mm-hmm. What are you expecting? So I hate to tell you, but I was open-minded, but my objective was devious.
You were trying to prove it wrong, and you learn that it was actually right.
But I was humble enough to say, you know what? No, I was just ignorant. I didn't learn how to do it correctly. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because there's 1,000 option strategies that you can use. You use just a couple that you teach to people. So can you kind of walk us through that a little bit and explain it?
Okay. So there's so many option strategies, and let me just give a disclaimer here. It's very important that you know what you're doing with options, because it's very, very fast way to lose money. So just like, I'm not scaring anybody, but it's not something you want to play with, right? If you can lose money in stocks, if you don't know what you're doing, it's 10x. Can 10x your profit, but it also can 10x your... So you really need to, just to educate everybody, it is not a get-rich-quick scheme. And don't trust anybody who's telling you, especially people who are trading using options, please be careful. Learn first before you do anything. So that's that. There's so many option strategies, but taking two steps backward, before you go into stocks and options, you need to understand that the first thing that you need to do is not to learn how to make money in stocks and options. Stocks are very volatile compared to real estate market. So you need to know how to preserve your money. Like, before you want to make money, you want to make sure that you don't lose money. So you need to be really risk averse. You need to understand what is happening, and you need to learn and study how do other people lost money in the situation, so that you do risk mitigation. And what I teach, for me, if the formula is 100%, 10% is the strategy, 30% is risk mitigation. So you need to spend 3x the time. Again, same as driving a car. Anybody can push the pedal and the car will move. Doesn't really need any genius to do that. The whole game of going to a course to study, to learn how to drive, is to avoid... The whole game is not to be involved in an accident. All the training, all the insurance, it's to avoid going to an accident. And then 60% of the game actually is psychology. I can teach two people exactly the same things. They will know exactly the same things. One of them will do very well. One of them will lose their money in a month. Why? Because if somebody is addicted to, has so much greed or addicted to so much risk, they can't help it by putting themselves in situations that are bad. So let me explain what is options very briefly. Please stop me if I'm talking too much. So options,
no, you're fine.
options comes from the word options. Options mean at the end of the day, I will have an option to do X or Y. It's up to mm-hmm. me. If I buy the option, I will have the option of doing exercising it or using it or leaving it, not using it. For example, here, if let's give an example. Let's say here, Jeff, I sometimes get depressed. So I might come to Jeff and say, Jeff, I want to make an agreement with you. Anytime I feel a little bit not feeling very good, I want to have the option of calling you and talking to you for 10 minutes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and if you agree to do this agreement with me, I'll pay you $10. So that's an option. I bought the option of being able to call Jeff at any point. So I'm the buyer of the option and I have the right to call Jeff in the next month. Jeff here mm-hmm. is the seller of the option. He sold me the right to call him. And for that, he was compensated with a premium, the $10. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same thing with options. We sell something called puts. There are two types, puts and calls. Just to make it simpler here as well, think of the insurance business. I, for example, for the last, I don't know how many years, paid so much in insurance. So think of me as the insurance company and Jeff is buying car insurance. Jeff would have paid...
Way better side of the equation to be on there, buddy. I'm just saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So the insurance company got so much premium from me, so much money, compare it to how much I used them, how much accident I've been through, not much. So I paid so much compared to the insurance. So let's say here, if we have an example, if Jeff bought a stock that is called XYZ, it's a good stock. Jeff is so happy with the stock, but he bought it at $200 and Jeff is so afraid that the stock will go down to 190. Mm-hmm. So Jeff might come to me. I am a sophisticated investor. I know that XYZ is a good stock and we emphasize a lot on what is a good stock. I explain in my training what is a good stock, basically a good business, and we can talk about that later. But I know it's a good stock. I like to buy XYZ. For me, XYZ at $200 is a very good stock. And I'm not afraid if the stock goes down a little bit because all stocks go down and up. It's volatile. So Jeff comes to Fatty and tells me, Fatty, I know that you buy XYZ. And I want to make an agreement with you. If the stock goes down below 190, would you please buy it from me at 190? And I look, think, you know what? I was okay to buy it at 200. Mm-hmm. It's for me better position to buy it at 190. It's for me, it's discounted. And if I go through this agreement, Jeff will pay me $10. So in effect, really, I bought it at 180, not 190. So I would do that all the time. Mm-hmm. So this is called, for me here, I'm the insurance company. I sold insurance. I sold the put. Mm-hmm. In this example, Jeff is the one who bought the put, bought the option. And Jeff has the right to put the option to me, meaning if it goes down below 190, he will tell me, Fatty, we agreed. I need to give you the XYZ stock and you need to buy it from me. So in this transaction, by the way, what I teach as well is that we always like to be on the selling part of the options because and the reason is basically in selling the option you have a limited profit, so it's not unlimited, it's a limited profit. In this example, it's the $10 of the premium, but the probability of me of it going my way is 75-80% versus the buyer of the option, same as I'm buying insurance, car insurance all the time. I have unlimited profit when I buy the option, but the probability it goes my way is 20-25%. So I'd rather make consistent lower profits all the time versus betting on... It's the same as going buying the option. It's close to the example of buying a lottery. I can come and tell you, you're going to do $50 million, but you got to look at the probability of me winning the lottery. Somebody told me that you, the probability of you winning the lottery doesn't really change if you buy the ticket or not. That's how small it is. So I'd rather, I don't want to chase high profits. I want to chase consistent. And for me, consistent is like 24-36%. That's 2-3x of the market. That's really good. And with the proper risk mitigation strategies, it becomes very lucrative, especially if you're patient and not greedy.
Well, and I think that's the biggest thing is that there's so many people that, they would either go to Vegas or they would you know, be in the options market, and they treat it just as such, you know, and it's basically like Vegas without the free drinks at that point. So, you know, I think the way you're approaching it where, okay, risk mitigation is a huge part of this. Cause I mean, that's where you can make a lot of money in options, but you can lose a lot of money very fast in options if you don't manage that risk.
That's why the first, like, you know, I have this system called growth, and the first letter of it is goal setting. And the way I tell people is that if you want to go from Toronto to Austin, and let's say it takes about 12 hours of driving, if your goal to, if I drive from here to Austin and my goal is to be there in 3 hours, that's my goal. If your goal is wrong or too aggressive, I will have to end up driving at 300 kilometers per hour or 300 miles per hour to reach there. So if you have a wrong goal, it will drive you to do something that is not smart. I don't want to say stupid. So, and you really need to understand that with high ROI. So if I really want to invest only 3 hours to get to Austin, I will have to drive at 300 kilometers an hour. Sooner or later, I'll be in an accident. Sooner or later, you're going to lose your money. If you're running after get rich quick schemes and they tell you that you're going to double your money every 2 months or every year or something, like, you know, if this is what you're chasing, you cannot help it, but you will have to adopt strategies that are extremely risky, which is not. So for me, I always tell people that, again, ROI and risk are, you cannot disassociate both. If you have something that is high ROI, whether you're like, you know, you understand the risk or you're oblivious to it, does not matter. There is risk involved. So if you don't understand the risk, please don't go do the trade. You really need to understand, because nobody like pays money. Like, you know, if something that is, it's the same as the insurance, right? Insuring a house that is in the hurricane belt will be more expensive, right? So if I am selling puts and I'm in the insurance company, I need to be smart. I cannot just insure all of my insurance is houses in the flood zone, in the hurricane thing, because at some point, if I'll make a lot of money at some point, but suddenly one day hurricane will come and I'll lose everything. So being, I call it responsible investing. You need to be risk averse. You need to be afraid that you're going to lose your money. You need to protect your capital. You're going to make a lot of money. Like, don't get me wrong. You're going to make a lot of money, but more importantly is not to lose money, and you protect your capital. That's more important than making money.
Yep. The Warren Buffett theory, you know, question number one or statement number one, don't lose money.
Yeah, he didn't.
Statement number two, refer back to rule number one.
He didn't tell us how to not lose money, but he told us it's very important not to lose money.
Yeah, just don't lose money. Figure that out. Figure that out. Life is good. Yeah.
You figure it out.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, when somebody comes to you, how do you start to educate them? How does your academy work?
So basically, I have a 3 month. I don't like to give people a course, just a bunch of videos, and let them be, because for me, it is like learning how to ride horses. It's very difficult to ride horses just by watching videos. So for me, I like to make it like my program is a 12-week mentorship program, whereby we meet once every week for about 2 hours or 3 hours. It's a very small group. What I do, and it's not negotiable as well, is that anybody in the program has to invest in a paper trading account. It's a free account that you open. And this is the responsible thing to do. If you have something we cannot really do with real estate, if you learned a new strategy, you cannot just go and put your money in it hoping that it's going to work, because you're going to make mistakes and you need to learn it. So there's something called a paper trading account, which you can open with, let's say, IBKR. It's a broker. It's free account. You don't need to fund the account. And you can try the strategies that you learn from me or from anybody in a way that is safe. They give you $1 million that is fake money, monopoly. You trade the market. Everything is real with the exception of the money. So if you make money, you don't make money. And if you lose money, you don't lose your own capital. So, and you try the strategies. And the way I tell people is that you have to spend 2-3 months in paper trading account. You have to prove to yourself that you can make money, make all the mistakes whereby we teach them how to avoid it and learn from it in the mentorship program. And you have no business going to your live trading with your own money, except when you prove to yourself that you made money. Because if you didn't make money, it means that what I taught you is wrong, or you didn't understand it, or you're making mistakes, or there's something needs to be tweaked before you go and jump in. So in this 3 months, they get a lot of confidence because now they know the app and all the buttons is not very user-friendly. They have tried the system. They made a lot of mistakes. And the way I teach is that I don't tell them everything. I ask them. So basically, every week, because it's a paper trading account, there's nothing confidential. Everybody has to share their screen. And they have to show the trades that they did within the week. And then we discuss it. I ask them, like, how much RI did you make? Okay, what should you do right now? I see a mistake. Do you know what is the mistake? And everybody's thinking, what is the mistake? So it provides a huge learning opportunity from everybody looking at everybody's trades. And you get people asking stuff that you never thought they're going to ask. And you see mistakes of other people. And at some point of time, also one of the things, the risk mitigation stuff, is that I tell them that you cannot use margin. So at some point in week 6 or 7, we simulate that somebody is so much into margin. And we simulate how do you get liquidated. And I tell them that, like, you only do that in paper trading. So we teach them all the different things, the good and the bad, so that the bad they don't do when they go to live trading. And the results are really good because once they finish the program, they're really confident and they can go about doing the trades in a way that is calm, responsible, without hype, which is very awesome. Important to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so is it like an ongoing monthly cost, or you used to do it like as a program cost?
It's a program cost. So it's just one time, for the 3 months.
Nice.
And it's designed for that after the 3 months, you don't need me. So it's not something that I keep upselling for people to do more.
Yeah, to continue
the objective
to
is for you to be completely independent after 3 months.
That's fantastic. And so they have access to you throughout that training then?
Yeah. Throughout the training, so every cohort are on a WhatsApp group, so we can
pass.
But here's the thing, though. When you sit with me for 3 hours, because like I'm so generous with my time, and they like to, most of the time they like to leave before the 3 hours, but I don't leave it. All the questions are done. Everybody has to share the screen. And so when you sit with me for 3 hours, people are not that motivated to ask me questions within the week.
But it's like, okay, I'm done.
Like, you know, I just like, you know, I'll see you. But yeah, we have a WhatsApp group and we have a Facebook group, and WhatsApp group is just for the cohort, for the 3-4 people. So that, like, I'm readily accessible. And the objective here is this. A lot of people, here's one of the things that is really bad in this industry, is that so many people, their objective is just to sell the course. So for example, I took this course that is a marketing course, and I paid $7,500, really expensive. Uh-huh. And the guy did not check on me once for the 3 months. He did not care. I got your money. It's you. I'm very different. If somebody did not show up for a call, I call him next day and I tell them, okay, when can we, like, because my objective is for everybody. Like it's not selling the thing. My objective is my success. My metric is that everybody graduates and confident so that they can make money, at least to get back the money for the course. And I have examples of people, they could, like, you know, they recoup the money of the and more of the program and more before the 3 months. But at least if you're going to start after 3 months, like, you should be able to recoup the course, because so many people also are addicted to taking courses without doing anything with it, which is like, you know, I heard that only 3% of the people who buy a course, like if you get a videos, only 3% of the people finish the videos and do it. Like, it's just such a horrendous stat.
Well, like, I come from the same boat as you. I mean, I just can't create courses that I just throw out there and hope people succeed. It just drives me insane, you know. And I mean, I've got a Udemy course that, you know, I kind of threw together real quick, and I'll go through and watch and see where people have gotten through the course. And I'll go in there and just kind of prod them a little bit. Hey, I saw you stopped. Was there something, you know, cause I want to know too. Okay. Is there something in the course that is causing you to be, okay, I can't move any farther ahead.
It's not the course. It's
It's 90% of the time. It's just, okay, well, I got busy. Okay. Well, we're all busy.
Because life happens, Jeff. And that's why the mentorship is really good when you have the camaraderie, the fact that even if you didn't do anything, like, people, like, when I ask questions, people sometimes are not afraid, but they know they will be asked, and they know that I'll ask about the homework and stuff. But again, it's one time a week whereby even if you didn't do anything the whole week, it's a time for you to get lifted up again, renew the promise to yourself, right? And it's a time to restart. So you have like 12 or 13 times in this coaching program to restart if you stop. And most people within the 13 weeks, they drop and I go and just lift them back up. Again, mm-hmm. I see it as part of my job. I'll tell you, it's very difficult for anybody to keep up because we're all busy. We're all mm-hmm. very busy with families and work and stuff. So I feel for them. And that's why I designed it this way, because I see that the I can see that the percent graduation or the percent of the success is night and day compared to just the videos.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, like I said, and if you price it right, you make money, they make money, and you're getting them through that program successfully, which is really the key
in the end. That's the goal.
You know, you're changing people's lives. Exactly. And you're hopefully helping them get what we call the freedom day. I mean, it's that day where, okay, you freed yourself from having to get up and slog into work every day and go sit in a cubicle and die a little bit every day.
I'm totally with you. And here's the thing. I heard this quote once that said that if people don't know if you are playing or working, that's one level of mastery. And that's what I feel. I don't feel at work. When I'm coaching people, I don't feel that I'm working. So I can give a lot of time. A lot of times I do free challenges just to get people into the course. And sometimes I don't end up with anyone buying the course, buying the mentorship. And that's fine. I don't regret it at all because I am helping, pushing people. It's my passion. It's what I want to do. It's what I feel valued at in terms of pushing people to Freedom Day. And I see a lot, everybody's hurting, especially in Canada. Like, you know, just everybody's hurting financially. It's a worthy cause to help people move on. And I'm sure you're the master of that. Like, you're helping people all right night day.
No, I bring people like you on, and then that helps everybody out.
Okay, so. Cool. That's good.
Anything new in your world that you want to tell us about?
Anything new in my world? I'm confessing here. I'm not very good in marketing and sales as part of this thing. So what's new is that I'm taking a lot of marketing courses.
Good.
Which is very challenging for me, getting coming to podcasts, doing YouTube and all this stuff. It's very hard for me. But it's where I expand. So I'm telling people like that, the people like that are in the course, like, listen, I understand that this is difficult. I'm helping you. I am also having my own like growth path that I'm in. So that's new. What's new as well? It's not new, but what's happening? Everybody out there, like when they come to the course, they're saying, "I hope that the markets recover when I like by the 3 months." And I'm saying, no. I hope they don't, because a lot of myth about this is that the market will go up all the time. The market breathes. So it goes up, down, up, down. People don't understand that when it goes down, that's normal. I tell people sometimes, if you look at your kid and you think that they should only inhale, and once you see them starting exhaling, you say, no, there's something wrong. I need to get a doctor. No, it's normal. We know that 2-3 times a year, it's going to go down by 5%. Once a year, it's going to go by 10%. Every year and a half is going to go by 20%. Every 2 years, 3 years is going to go by 30%. It's absolutely normal. And if the tariffs were not there, the market, I'm telling you, it has been going up for 2 years. It was time for a correction. The market will find something to come down to correct.
And it's the next boogeyman. You know, okay, the tariffs will get up. Because we know. I mean, the tariffs are all going to get worked out. And then it'll be the market looking for some other reason that, it's this thing that's causing everything to go down. And, you know.
And that's why I tell people you have to understand, like, again, it's a paradigm shift. If you know what is a good stock, let's say Meta. Mm-hmm. For me, Meta is a good stock. Again, not financial advice, but Meta is a good stock. At some point, it was $400 or $380.
Yep.
Within a year, it went to $80. Mm-hmm. And then within a year, it went to $700. So understand that the normal market behavior is that the price in the short term, which is 2 years or less, the price of the stock and the value of the stock has nothing to do with each other. It's like a drunk person like assigning prices every day. So if you know that, and the normal people that don't know anything about that, they will always buy very high wait till it goes down and then sell. It's kind of a, that's why everybody's losing money. That's a normal behavior if you leave yourself.
And then stay out of the market until it gets way up there and then buy right back in again.
Exactly. So if you know what you're doing and you learned, you need to know what is a good stock, the XYZ stock. So if you buy it even at, let's say, 300, really high, or 380, when it goes down, you're not going to panic and sell because you know it's a good thing. If you know that it's a good stock, you will buy more. I tell people, same thing. Like, you know, if you know that if a kilo of tomato or a pound of tomato is $10 and you went to the store and you found it at $5, are you going to panic? You're going to go to your house, get the tomato in the house and sell it at $5? No. Like when I see it at $5, I'm saying it's time for a salad, right?
Yeah.
So if you know that Meta is a good stock, and for me, evaluating a good stock, it's a business, not a lottery ticket. Mm-hmm. So the main thing for a business is that it's making money or not.
Yeah.
I don't care how nice or sexy the products are. If it's not making money, it's not investable for me. Just simple as that. So, and this takes out 90-95% of the 6,000 companies in the market, right? If you focus on good companies. So Peter Lynch said that there is 100% correlation between the price of the stock and the value on the long term, like 5 years plus. So if you know that Meta is a good stock and it goes down, it's a completely, your behavior will shift. Now, all what you're going to be thinking of, I need to buy at 80 because I know it's a good stock. It's going to go up. And yes, within a year, it went to 700. So it's completely like now it's so clear to me why people are losing money. It's just very simple because it's working against the psychology. Maybe it's designed this way. I don't know. So you really need to understand what you're doing. It's an investment thing. It's like you need to treat it as if it's a business, same as real estate. I don't understand why people in real estate, when they come to stocks, they don't do 1% of the due diligence they normally do. Just a bit weird.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, so many people do the same thing. I mean, even the professionals do the same thing. I mean, a lot of times it's just, oh, well, this is going up, so I'm going to jump on board with this. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, are the underlying fundamentals of the company good? No. You know, there's so many companies that don't make money. They have no earnings. You know, they have no chance of making a profit because they're fundamentally flawed from the beginning, but they, you know, the stock keeps going up. So, oh, we've just got to jump on board. And
totally agree. And even if, like you said, that they have no chance of making money, but even if they have a chance of making money, for example, Tesla at some point, we're not making money.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather wait till it makes money before I go in.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make the max amount of profit out of everything, right? That's not a good strategy. So wait till it makes money and then go in. You're still going to make shitload of money. It's still lucrative.
Yeah. There's plenty of time to make money in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's plenty of time to make money, plenty of opportunities. You just need to know what you're looking at.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's transition to the fast five questions.
Okay.
So first thing, you wake up in the morning. Business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, a place to live, food and clothing. What do you do first?
Okay, so food and clothing. First thing is the psychology. First thing is my type of personality, I don't like to weep and cry. So there's no time, especially when I have only $500. So the first thing is, I need to sit down and figure out what are the opportunities that I have, right? Mm-hmm. What is the best thing I need to put this $500 in? It can be I need to buy some stuff to start a business or to invest in something. But for me, it would be I would spend minimum time or zero time crying about what has left, right? Mm-hmm. Mainly because I'm very pragmatic, because it doesn't help me at all. It's just a waste of time. And I know also one of the courses I took was something called the Landmark Forum. And they told me that one of the things that if people are like in this wipey and cryy thing, you're getting a kickback by thinking or feeling that you're the victim. So you feel good because you're the victim. So from that point on, I have zero time allowing myself to feel like a victim because it doesn't help at all. It doesn't help the situation. So I will sit down, brainstorm on what is the best opportunity that I have to put this $500. I might need to go back to a 9-to-5 job. So I will do, you know what? I'll start from again. I will look at my skills, find something to work 9-to-5. And this 500, I will start either doing a business, same as I did from 5 to 12, do a business or invest in something and build myself again. But now yeah. I know that it will take me much, much less time because I'm wiser. I already did all the mistakes that I have.
You've got the life mistakes taken care of at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, right. So, and I'm going to build myself again, and I will not feel nice. Sorry for myself. Like,
nice. Love it. All right. Next question. What's the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
I made a lot of mistakes. So in real estate, in the beginning, I'll share some. I'm not afraid. I'm not embarrassed. So in the beginning, I used to buy houses for free. So I used to buy houses that are very cheap.
Okay.
On paper, they would cash flow like crazy. But they're really in bad houses in bad neighborhoods. And I used to close and I get money at the end of that in closing. I used to structure it in a way whereby, you know what, I get money in closing. I buy it and get money. But the experience here is this. Bad houses in bad neighborhoods, I never collected for a month all the rents that I'm supposed to. So my best month was collectability of about 80%. I was still cash flowing with 80%. But it's such a big margin. So once I figured this out and graduated to really good houses in good places, I made a lot of money after that. But yeah. It's not that I was cheap. I had to do that because I didn't have a lot of capital in the beginning. But again, what you think, like you need to learn, what you think of as good opportunity, it might not end up being a good opportunity. So you do it once or twice, but you need to learn quickly and transition to something that I had to pay more to get it, especially up front. But it's much more solid investment. And same thing as stocks. All the stuff that I tell people not to do right now, don't be in margin, only buy good stocks. Do not insure stocks that are bad because, yes, you'll get a lot of money. It's the same as insuring houses in the hurricane belt. I did all the mistakes and I paid the price. So now I know I shouldn't. And when I tell them, they can see that I'm serious about it. It's not nice to have.
So, I've been there, done that. Don't do this.
Yeah, so... Biggest mistake. I've made big mistakes all the time, but I'm here. And what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I'm here in a much better position to help people with the mistakes that I did.
Awesome. Very good. What's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
So as a start, if you did not read The Cash Flow Quadrant, The Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that's a start.
That's awesome. Honestly, it's my favorite of all of his books.
Yeah, that was the one in a very nice way, simple way for somebody who's really blind and only understands that it's just being an employee. And it's a trap because our parents told us to be an employee. All the education system, all the universities are there to make you a good employee.
Yep.
But you have no chance of making wealth if you're an employee. The book tells you that if you're E, you're taxed much more than everybody else. You don't even see the money. You get taxed before you get the money. There's no tax breaks. You don't have freedom. You're using your intellect and your time to make money for someone. If you're a self-employed, you're using your money and it's still your time to make money for yourself. If you're a business owner, you're using other people's time to make money for yourself. And you're an investor, you're using other people's time and money to... Anyway... Cash Flow. And then another book as well called Cash Flow with Options for Lee Lowell. Very good book as well, as a good introductory book.
Awesome. We'll put those in the show notes. What's a tool that you use in your business every day that you might recommend?
Tool. There's so many. But okay, so other than the computer and stuff, ChatGPT is very nice too. Huge way to... In my business, to write stuff that is marketing, especially with people that are challenged like me, I don't like writing. So one of the things I really did that was really cool, I got all the different videos, testimonials that I have and then I put into ChatGPT and told them, analyze and tell me, tell me stuff I can't see. And went, looked at all the videos and stuff and said, okay, fine. These are the top five things. The fact that they increased their confidence was mentioned like 20 times. Nice. They liked the coaching and your patience 19th. And so it showed me stuff I've never, like, I would, like, you know, because I take every testimonial by itself. I never really knew these are the things that they like. These are the things that is important for them. So for me also is very important. Again, I'm learning that CRM called Go High Level to figure out who are your customers, get in touch with them. I'm not very good at that. I'm learning to get in touch with them, to figure out who bought something, who didn't, who interacted with you, who didn't, so that you can serve every category based on what they want, not what you like, you know. So that's that. I use a lot of websites, Jeff, free websites to help my students give, like Yahoo Finance, for example, Guru Focus to look at the different stocks. There's something called Equity Clock to tell, there's something called seasonality, whereby, you know, for example, that September probably is the worst month of the year in terms of, you know, that stocks usually go down there. I don't know why, but it's just, they did statistics. So there's a lot of websites like that. And of course, Microsoft is like, for me, it's like Excel, Word and stuff. It's just, it's like every 5 minutes I'm on one, like, you know, and that's a good company, right? Yeah. Imagine millions and millions and millions of people using the software every day. Such a strong moat, such a strong competitive advantage. So that's a good company. That's a good business when everybody is using it.
That, absolutely, yeah. When everybody's addicted to it at that point.
Addicted, yeah.
Last question. What is your definition of freedom?
That's a good question. I actually went to ChatGPT once to figure out what is freedom. And freedom, there's like 12 different kinds of freedom. And I thought in the beginning when I was a kid, freedom's just money. Yeah. And then I asked myself, what is it that, why is it that I want money? And it showed me that what I really want is a different kinds of freedom. So there's freedom of time, that I own my time now. I don't have to work 9 to 5 for a company. I'm getting money, I'm doing what I want, but I have freedom of time. Freedom of location. Everything I do right now is on Zoom.
Yep.
So I went to Egypt, for example, last year for 2 months, and everything I do was happening. I was teaching my students. The class was at 3 a.m. in the morning in Egypt, but it's fine.
Yeah, well, that's...
It's fine. I'm okay. I like it. So I was teaching my students at the different universities and colleges. I was doing my coaching stuff. All good, nice. Right? Everything is moving. All what I need is a laptop and an internet. So the time, location, there's freedom of decision, meaning I can do whatever I want. So after this 1 hour call with you, I can work on whatever I want. I can go sleep for 2 hours. I can go get my kid. It's the freedom of choice is humongously liberating. So
yes,
money, of course, time, location, and decision is the next three. Of course, there's so other stuff like, you know, afterwards, but these are the four for me.
I love it. Love it. So Fatty, tell me, you know, if somebody's interested in learning a little bit more about what you've got, how to get in contact with you, where's the best place to find you?
So the best place to find me is on LinkedIn, Fatty Habib, FADIHABIB. My website is Legacy Wealth Builder Academy. You can also see me on YouTube. But the easiest way is just to email me info@LegacyWealthBuilderAcademy or message me on LinkedIn.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I will see you on LinkedIn because that's I've committed that's my only social media platform this year that I'm focusing on and trying to make everything work. So I will see you over there, my friend.
Cool. So you want quality like, you know, it's LinkedIn is not like any other social media. It's there for people. Everybody respects. Anyway, I understand.
Yeah, and I mean, it's still figuring it out. I mean, it's been fun kind of experimenting with a lot of different things and figuring out what works and what doesn't, what gets impressions and things like that. Yeah. And so I think it's a very intriguing and interesting platform, and it has certainly improved significantly in the last year or so from what it was before, because it was just basically a big resume online and that was it. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being on the show today. Folks, we'll put all of his information in the show notes so that you can go and learn a little bit about him and learn a little bit about what he's doing. And if it fits your investment strategy, it sounds like a very good place to learn how to do it the right way. So thanks a lot. We'll join you back here the very next time. And you guys have a fantastic day.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.